Good evening, everyone. John Curdy here, coming to you from the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, and this news update is brought to you by Sanilac Medical Care Facility, where care is not just a service, but a heartfelt commitment to a better quality of life. Health experts are urging Michigan residents to take extra precaution outdoors as Lyme disease cases sharply rise across the state. A recent McLaren Health study shows reported Lyme disease cases in Michigan have increased sixfold over the past 3 years. Doctors say the increase is tied in part to expanding tick populations, including black-legged or deer ticks, which can carry the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Medical experts recommend checking yourself, children, and pets after spending time outside, especially in wooded areas, tall grass, or along trails. Ticks should be removed carefully with tweezers, gripping close to the skin and pulling straight out to avoid leaving mouth parts behind. Symptoms to watch for include an expanding rash, fever, chills, fatigue, muscle aches, and joint pain or swelling. Doctors say early symptoms can resemble other illnesses, but a growing rash after a tick bite should be taken seriously. Pet owners are also being reminded that animals can bring ticks indoors even when they are on tick prevention medication. And during the Tuesday, August 4 election, there will be a referendum ballot issue that deals with host communities regarding green energy ordinances. The issue asks that a host community agreement and completion report language zoning ordinance amendment, ZA2026-01, be included in the county zoning ordinance. And should those who live in the host zoning jurisdiction that approved the amendment to the county's zoning ordinance be added to a host community agreement and completion report, be adopted by the Huron County Board of Commissioners on February 24th, 2026, vote yes or no. The county issued a press release to explain the proposal. It is a referendum regarding the county's zoning amendment. If approved, it would allow those who live in host areas an opportunity to weigh in on green energy zoning issues. The referendum concerns the zoning amendment that revised portions of the county's zoning ordinance regarding utility-scale solar energy systems and battery storage facilities. Also, when an application for a special use permit is approved in a host community, the host community will require an energy facility owner must pay the county when the operations start $2,000 per megawatt. That money can be used by the county for police, fire, public safety, or other infrastructures, or for other projects in the county. The full text of zoning amendment 2026-01 is posted on the county's website at co.huron.mi.us. And Huron County Road Commission has announced a resurfacing project for Atwater Road, stretching from the East Village limits of Ubley to Ruth Road. Work is scheduled to begin July 13th and is expected to wrap up by August 7th, weather permitting. The project includes resurfacing nearly 8.9 miles of roadway with a hot mix asphalt overlay, along with shoulder improvements and fresh pavement markings. Road officials say the work is designed to improve ride quality, enhance safety, and extend the life of the existing pavement. Traffic will remain open through the construction zone under flag control, but motorists should expect reduced speeds and possible delays while crews are working. Drivers are encouraged to use caution when traveling through this area and allow extra travel time during the project. For updates or additional information, residents can contact the Huron County Road Commission. When we come back from this Sanilac Medical Care Facility sponsor message, we'll continue with our national, international news, and our obituaries.
Hi, I'm Nicole Miller, administrator at Sanilac Medical Care Facility in Sandusky. Choosing care for a loved one is one of the most important decisions a family can make. At Sanilac Medical Care Facility, we take that responsibility seriously. We're more than a medical facility. We're a welcoming home where compassion, dignity, and quality care come first. We offer both short-term rehabilitation and long-term care, supported by an experienced medical team and enhanced by on-site physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy, all conveniently available under one roof. Our focus is simple, providing personalized care that supports comfort, recovery, and quality of life. We're here to nurture, here to care. Your health is our mission. To learn more, visit sanilacmedicalcare.com or call 810-648-3017. Sanilac Medical Care Facility, because your loved ones deserve the best.
And we're back in the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom. Again, my name is John Curdy. Continuing with our national news, Federal labor data reveals surprising jump in micro-freelance economy. A new economic briefing from the Department of Labor shows a massive, unexpected shift in how young Americans are making their living. Traditional corporate entry-level applications have dipped, heavily outpaced by a massive spike in independent micro-freelancers managing multiple digital income streams. Economists note that the trend is keeping national unemployment figures artificially low, but warns it leaves millions of workers entirely exposed without corporate health care or retirement safety nets. Congress is already facing quiet pressure to overhaul how independent worker benefits are structured. In other national news, national parks report record-shattering midsummer backcountry rescues. The National Park Service is issuing an urgent plea for wilderness safety after park rangers performed a record number of helicopter evacuations over the holiday week. Inexperienced hikers, lured by social media videos, are frequently wandering into remote backcountry trails without adequate water, navigation tools, or heat protection. Search and rescue teams are being stretched to their absolute physical limits. Officials warn that hikers found intentionally bypassing safety barriers or ignoring explicit park weather advisories may soon be footed with the massive five-figure bills for their own rescues. And in our international news, Spain knocked Portugal out of World Cup, ending Cristiano Ronaldo's era. An emotional chapter in sports history closed last night, and Spain completely dismantled Portugal in the high-octane World Cup round of 16 match. The bitter Iberian rivals put on the absolute masterclass of defensive soccer, but a late-stage Spanish strike sealed Portugal's fate and officially ended their tournament run. The final whistle marked the definitive end of Cristiano Ronaldo's legendary international career, leaving the iconic superstar visibly devastated as he exited the global pitch for the final time. Spanish fans celebrated long into the night as their dominant squad moves one step closer to lifting the most coveted trophy in sports. In other international news, direct cash transfer programs drive massive gains in financial inclusion. A groundbreaking research paper published by the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Council reveals that targeted direct cash transfers are radically transforming rural household welfare. Programs explicitly empowering women such as the Ladki Bahim and Subhadra Yojana initiatives have resulted in a mass surge in independent bank account registrations. The economic data proves that putting capital directly into the hands of female heads of households drastically improves local healthcare spending and children's education metrics. The stunning success of these digital welfare rollouts is being closely studied by global development banks as a blueprint for poverty alleviation.
And we are back with a look at your obituaries for the hour. Larry Lee Williams of Elkton, age 81, passed away Tuesday, July 7th at Courtney Manor in Bad Axe. Larry was born November the 22nd, 1944. He was a veteran of the United States Air Force and was stationed in Port Austin at the now retired Air Base. While stationed there, he met the love of his life, Victoria Eden, and they were united in marriage on September 23rd, 1967, at St. Edward's Catholic Church in Kendi. Left to cherish his memory are his wife of nearly 59 years, Vicky, their two sons, Chris and Brian, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, his brother, Andy, and his nieces and nephews. A funeral service for Larry will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, July 10th, at Ransford Funeral Home of Pigeon. Visitation will take place at the funeral home from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. on Thursday, July the 9th, and on Friday from 10 a.m. until the time of service. Burial will follow at the Riverside Cemetery in Elkton. Memorials may be made to the Century Oaks Public Golf Course. The family was assisted with arrangements by the Ransford Funeral Home of Pigeon. Friends can share memories, thoughts, and prayers online at www.ransfordfuneralhome.com.
For the complete news stories, weather obituaries, and more, visit thumbnet.net. From the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, I'm John Curdy, and that news update was brought to you by Sanilac Medical Care Facility, where care is not just a service, but a heartfelt commitment to a better quality of life.